I'm Terry Lum. I'm from the University of Hong Kong, and I want to acknowledge my research team. They are from the Center on Aging at the University of Hong Kong, and this is a project that we are doing, still ongoing project that we are doing for the Hong Kong government to evaluate the implementation of the community care voucher program in Hong Kong. So the timeline is actually from September of 2013 to September of 2015, this is the first phase of the pilot implementation. The second phase will be from September of 2015 to 17, and then hopefully after 17, you know, it will be a large-scale implementation for the whole city. And for the first small pilot implementation, we have very limited scale. We only offer voucher to 1,200 older people. And then they also have very, very limited choice of services. But the whole idea is, in Hong Kong, we have a very large number of people who are using nursing home. So right now, we have about 14% of population who are 65 or older. If you fast forward to 20-something more years, by 2041, one out of three people in Hong Kong will be 65 or older. And even the situation is even worse if you look at the supply side of who can be the carer. So by that time, 2041, one older person in Hong Kong versus 1.8 working age population. So the question in front of us is always, how many working age people we can spare, we can take out, you know, from the labor force in other, you know, economic development activity to be in elder care. So even though, for example, right now we have 14%, if the government are willing to double the investment in elder care services, we will have big trouble to find enough worker to provide care. So there must be some way we need to identify, or we need to find out how to enlarge the provider network to make more people, particularly not the formal, you know, provider, to get into the business, to supply, to be the, you know, supplier of labor services. So with that one in view, this is the background of the voucher program. So in the first phase, it was launched in September of 2013. As I say, we provide 1,200 voucher to people who are on the waiting list of government-funded nursing home. We have more than 20,000 people on the waiting list. In order to be eligible for a government-funded nursing home, they need to go through a screening process, and they need to have a certification, so they need to be certified as having a genuine need for nursing home. So the whole idea is, if we provide, we are using the money follow the user approach and allow the older person to have a budget, and they can use the money to purchase services, can we move more people away from the waiting list so that they are more willing to use the community care instead of going into a nursing home? In the city of Hong Kong, it's a very tiny, small city with only 400 square mile. So if you are driving, 70 kilometer per hour, you can run through the whole city in 1 hour. And then, but with that tiny little city, we have about 7 million people. So it is a very condensed area. The whole city is divided into 18 districts, and we select 8 districts out of the 18 districts to implement this study. Because we also have another parallel study going to implement this year on the carer allowance, which is the second, another phase of, you know, providing money to the family to empower them to be a better carer. In that carer allowance, we will provide to older people in all the 18 districts. So we have 8 districts that have both carer allowance and voucher. And then another 10 districts only have carer allowance without voucher. So we are going to compare the effect of carer allowance on top of the voucher to see how it affects the ability and the willingness of family to provide care. And also, the government want to have a kind of co-payment involved. So they calculate, on average, 2 years ago, the value of community care for older people in Hong Kong is about 5,000 Hong Kong dollar per month. It is a little bit less than, maybe about 700 US dollar. So they say the family need to come up with at least $500 co-payment, Hong Kong dollar, However, if the family are wealthy, they should be able to put more. So the voucher a month range from $2,500 to $4,500. So if you are poor, the family is poor, then they only need to have $500 co-payment. But if they are okay, they are wealthy, they need to have $2,500 co-payment. So it is really up to their income level. So it is a step-by-step process. So the co-payment can be start from $500 if you are poor to up to $2,500. The Hong Kong government are quite conservative in terms of policy change. So they don't want to just let the people use the money on everything. So instead, they have 62 designated NGO who are the designated provider for long-term care services, community-based services. And the services are very similar to the services they provide by NGO, but then they need to have a separate kind of business model for the voucher system. So the services include the elderly care, the rehab services, the nursing care, the personal care, the meal-on-meal, the chore services, everything they already in place for the government-funded program. And then the older people can use the voucher value to purchase two possible mode of services. One is mixed mode, that means they can use both elderly care services and home care services. So for example, they can go to elderly care services for 2 days a week, and then they are home services, go to their home for chore services, meal on wheel, or escort services to medical appointment, several times a week. Or they can use all the money to purchase elderly care services. So it is up to them, but right now it is not feasible. We are still doing a multiple kind of formative evaluation for the government. So we have multiple data sources for this formative evaluation. So we have data from the Social Welfare Department of the Hong Kong government. We have both their screening data for eligibility of government long-term care services. And then we also do survey ourselves. So we interview people who are using services, the voucher services. We also interview people who enroll in the voucher program but eventually drop off. They decided to not use them. And then we conduct focus group with the care managers that we call the responsible worker in Hong Kong, and as well as the provider, the people who provide the voucher services. And then we also did in-depth interview with people who reject to join the voucher. That means the government offer you are eligible to use the voucher. So do you want to stay on the waiting list or do you want to use the voucher? And a large number of people actually reject the voucher. So we want to know why they reject. So this is the data collection process. In this presentation, I'm trying to present the finding from the first three data collections. So I'm not going to present the finding from this part. It will be another paper. So this is the first one, finding from the government data. So we have we successfully interviewed 504 cases of people who are using the voucher. So another one, as I said, we offer 1,200. Another one, 600 of those, 1,500 something of those, they are the people who are holding the voucher, but they have not used the services yet. They have 3 months time left before they can, the government approach them, asking them why you are holding on the voucher but not using it. So this is the early phase of the data collection process. So we successfully interviewed 504, pretty much the whole universe of people who are using the voucher services. And then we also have data from 4,000 cases who refuse the voucher. And then these are the data coming from its original survey, as well as some of our very quick, two, three question survey for the care manager, ask why do you, reject the offer. So let me skip this one. So this compare the people who accept and people who refuse. These are the percentage. And so it shows you the kind of profile of people who are accepting the voucher. So the question we are asking is, with this very restricted mode, who is using it, who is not using it? And then later, if the government in second phase provide more flexibility, can we attract more people to go into the voucher
So if you look at here, you look at the living arrangement, more likely if they are living alone, if you know they are rejecting the voucher. And if they are living with spouse, they are accepting, more likely to accept the voucher. And then if you look at the income distribution, so for people who have higher income, actually they are more likely to accept the voucher. And for people who have lower income, they are more likely to reject the voucher. And then education, the same, if they have very limited education, they are more likely not using the voucher. But if they have more education, high education, particularly people in the middle, they are more likely to accept the voucher. Living a type of residency, so if they own their own property, they are more likely to accept the voucher. So this is binary descriptive. We did a logistic regression on the data. So you found out after controlling for other data, if the older person are living with their main caregiver, they are 4.5 times more likely to accept the voucher. So having a support system living with them is important for older people to accept the voucher. These are the two welfare programs in Hong Kong. So if they are in any of the welfare programs, they are less likely to accept the voucher. I think it related to the co-payment. So if you are on the welfare program, you will be challenging to come up with the even $500 co-payment. Even though the government say, you know, they will reimburse the $500 if you are on welfare program, but the reimbursement will take several months. So they don't have the money to wait for several months. So financial burden is a big issue. Another one is, if you look at here, this is a household income. Similarly, you know, if they are lower income, they are less likely to accept. But interesting is, if they are very high income, they are also less likely to accept. So we look at the situation. Actually, if you look at people who refuse to use the voucher, the very high income also refuse to use the voucher. So I think they have the means to do it, rather than, you know, they don't want to take the government advantage, currently. You know, so they have their own means to take care of their long-term care needs. But they are on the waiting list, because in Hong Kong, even though you are middle class, the public long-term care services has been perceived as higher quality than the private one. So even if you are a retired teacher, retired nurse, if you need nursing home, you want to get the government one rather than to get the private one. So as a result, there is the reason that we have 7% of all older people either in the nursing home or already in nursing home, and then we have another 2% on the waiting list. And this is let me skip this one. So this is another one, is people who accept and versus people who reject the invitation to use the voucher. So you also find out people who are living in public rental housing are less likely to accept. And interesting is, people who own their own property are also less likely. So we found out older people who are living in private housing but they rent the housing are more likely to accept the invitation. And also the household income is negatively related to the chance of accepting the voucher invitation. And if this is their care needs, so this is the second model, we also put the care needs. So two types of care needs actually is important or related to their acceptance. One is dressing. So if they need help on dressing, they are much more likely to accept the voucher. And if they need help in hygiene, you know, toilet, all those stuff, they're more likely to accept voucher. But if the need is more on household work, medication, on finance, handling money, no effect on voucher. So if the family caregiver major duty provide care is on the hygiene stuff, personal care stuff, more likely accept voucher. But if it is on medication or on household work, they are less likely to accept voucher. So this is the we ask them why they are interested or they will accept the voucher. Most of them actually have two reasons. One is, it is advice from the care manager, the social worker,
So social worker make a big difference on whether they accept the voucher or not. The second one is the voucher allow them to select the provider that is closer to where they live. In the traditional model, which provider depending on the government allocation, so you have, they have no choice. But with the voucher, they can select their own provider that is closer to where they live. And then, let me skip this one. So this is the summary of the data from the government. The first one is older people living with the major caregiver are more likely to accept voucher. And then those are the positive factors of affecting, you know, acceptance, including their living in private but rented apartment, higher education, health and function condition does not significantly affect their acceptance. However, the pain level, need for dressing and hygiene, those are quite stressful day to day, you know, particular hygiene and pain, you know, the caregiver find it very difficult to handle. And then the social worker referral become very important. So if you look at this, the voucher actually mainly right now capture the elder who are in the middle lower income group, and then they are living, they require ADL and IADL assistance. And the family caregiver and the responsible worker are both critical, are important, you know, for them to make the decision. This is from the survey we did. So we did a survey with 52 existing users and then 17 people who withdraw. We have difficulty to find people who withdraw from the voucher to participate in this study. So this is still ongoing. We are still collecting data. So let me go directly to the conclusion because I'm running out of time. So if you are interested, you know, you can drop me an email and then I can send you the whole PowerPoint. Basically, what we found out is similar to the, this is, you know, as I say, we are studying the same phenomenon using multiple data sources. So the first one is the existing data from the government, and this one is our own survey. The findings are very similar. People similar to the finding from the government data, we found out the existing voucher user actually has lower household income than the people who do not use, and then they are living with a family caregiver. And then compare with people who withdraw, that means they say they use it, but then they eventually they withdraw. We found out that people who use the voucher for several months, they report they have increase in their self-reported health and the quality of life. And then the caregiver also, we did a peer post, actually two waves of data collection. So this one we use the Cyrus burden interview. So we also see there is a decrease in the burden. And then, but we found out there is very little differences in terms of whether they expect they will still, you know, stay in the community for a longer period of time. And then we also, with, you know, a high order regression analysis, we also found out still, you know, the increase in self-reported health and quality of life is still significant, even after control for other variants. And then the burden is also reduced, burden. So our conclusion is, based on the available data, the voucher is quote-unquote effective to promote greater health and quality of life among services users and reduce the caregiver burden. And then the family support is very critical for people to stay in the voucher, to participate in the voucher or not. So if you are promoting the voucher, it is much more important to engage with both the care manager and the family. So this is focus group interview. In view of time, I skip the results and go directly to the conclusion. So we did interview with two groups of people. One is the care manager. Another one is a group of people who provide voucher services. Overall, although the care manager found out there is a lot increase in the workload, and then those workload are not reimbursed in Hong Kong, so it is volunteer work, but they are quite positive. both the responsible worker, I mean the care manager, and the provider, they are quite positive in the whole voucher program. They also see the voucher really empower older people, and they promote choices and services selection. And then the responsible worker and the provider also face a lot of challenges in implementation. Particularly, the government are making up the policy and the program while implementing it at the same time, because it is the first pilot. Even though a lot of information coming out, by the time when they come out, it is already outdated. And then the responsible worker, I mean the care manager, are not trained to provide those information. Even worse is it is the government people in the headquarters of the social welfare department who implement the voucher. But the district level social welfare department people do not have a strong buy-in. So the provider, they cannot get support from the government official in their same community. They need always go back to the headquarters. And there is a lot of kind of miscommunication between the headquarters and the community. For example, as the policy say, for people who are on the welfare program, their co-payment can be reimbursed by the government. Even after 3 months of beginning using the data, we still do not find one person get reimbursed. So it is why financial burden become a issue. The reimbursement was handled in the local level. The decision was made in the headquarters. So there is a miscommunication between the two. In terms of content of package, level of co-payment, and program information, those are the care manager and the provider, they say they are very critical for them to be an effective provider or effective care manager for this new voucher system. So overall, they are extremely positive on a voucher in Hong Kong, even though the workload has significantly increased and the reimbursement level is not enough to cover the additional cost. They also identify care coordination or some type of care management are the key to implement or to enhance the voucher. Right now, the care manager only do one thing. He or she talk with the older person and the family, say you are eligible for the voucher, and then explain what is voucher. And then ask whether this person, decided to use it or not, to enroll in the program or not. If that will be the only role of the care manager. So after that, no engagement. So that is a big gap. And then the older person and the family, they are on their own to shop around to see what is available. And then for those who are knowledgeable, so high, more education, low income, middle class, they are going to use the services. For those who are low income, low education, they are not able to navigate the system. So certain type of care coordination and care management are really essential for the success implementation of the next pilot. Let me skip this one. So this is my email. So if you are interested in this PowerPoint, drop me an email and I can forward the PowerPoint to you. We still have about 3 to 4 minutes, so I think we can have maybe 2 questions if you are interested, in anything you want to clarify to ask.